Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 12th day of December, 2014. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting out of Atchison, Kansas. Ben Proust should join us from the Andersons facility in Everly, Iowa, to take a look at the cash grain market. We'll discuss the weather forecast with two folks, including Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey Prairie Research Institute for the United States, and Ed Kieser, agricultural meteorologist, to take a look at the weather in South America as we make our way through this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Checking now the numbers as they finished up in Chicago on this, Friday afternoon. Futures like this for the day. Nearby contract in the corn pit finished at 3.96 and a quarter, up 6 and a quarter for the day. The March at 4.07 and a half, up 9. And May futures at 4.15 and three quarters, 9 and a quarter higher. July at 4.21 and a half, up 9 cents. And September corn futures 4.24 and three quarters, up 7 and a half. December at 4.31 and three quarters, up 7. Soy complex, January beans up a nickel for the day, 10.47 and a quarter. The final trade, the March at 10.53 and three quarters, up 5 cents. And May soybeans at 10.59 and a half, 4 3/4 higher. July at 10.64 and a half, up 4 3/4. And the November beans of next year, $10.19 3/4, up 1 3/4. Bean meal at $378.90, down 27.20. And the bean oil, 4 cents higher at $31.97. Soft red winter wheat at $6.27 and a half. And the December, 17 1/4 higher. July at 6.07 3/4, up 6 1/4. And the hard red December at $6.34 in Chicago, 10 1/2 cents higher. Live cattle futures from the CME Group at $162 and a nickel in the December, down 35 cents. February 40 lower at 162.17 and a half, and the feeder cattle finished the January $3, that's the limit, lower at 225.60. March at 221.25, also down the $3 limit, and lean hogs were down 2 1/2 cents, and the lead option December at 87.52 and a half. February there at 83.25, down $1.10. You're listening, of course, to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
Let's check the outside markets at this hour. Crude oil has plummeted again, now down below $60 a barrel at $57.71, $2.24 lower for the day. RBOB gasoline at $1.59.5, that's down 2 8/10 of a cent. Ethanol futures at $1.67 1/4, down 6 1/2 cents. The spread is at 7 6/10 of a cent difference to the negative side now for ethanol usage. Natural gas at $3.78 1/10, 14 7/10 of a cent higher. And diesel fuel for the day at $2.04, down 4 6/10. Gold futures $1,222.10, $3.10 lower on their settlement price. And the U.S. dollar at 88.35 is down 0.304. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area. Cloudy skies today, a high of 37 degrees. On a west-southwest wind at about 6 miles an hour tonight, patchy fog before midnight, otherwise mostly cloudy. A low of 32, and Saturday cloudy, a high of 47, west-southwest winds at 5 to 7. Saturday night, mostly cloudy, a low of 39, and on Sunday, 52 degrees. That's right, 52 on a south wind on Sunday at 7 to 11 miles an hour. Monday, a 50% chance of rain. It'll be cloudy with a high of 49. Tuesday, cloudy and 43, and Wednesday, partly sunny with a high near 36 as we settle back into something more seasonable. Thursday, mostly cloudy and a high of 36 degrees. More on the weather forecast from two meteorologists when we get to the bottom of the hour, Ed Kieser and Jim Angel.
Support comes from Country Financial, hosting information sessions for farmers throughout the state of Illinois from December to March. Topics include updates on both the federal crop insurance program and the Farm Bill, as well as how to use grain marketing and crop insurance together to manage risk. More information is at countrycrop.com.
Let's turn our attention now to the marketplace here on the Closing Market Report for this 12th day of December. We're joined by Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Atchison, Kansas. Michael, I really want to start with the outside markets rather than what happened at the CME Group, though we should talk about wheat, I think. But let's begin with what's happening with the outside markets and the price of crude oil below $6 for the day. What'd you think?
Well, International Energy Agency came in with a lot lower demand projection, Todd, and it matches up with what OPEC had said earlier this week. And, you know, keep in mind, crude oil is looking a lot like corn did the first 9 months of 2014 in that as prices go lower, the projections for demand are going lower with it. So I think there's a big inefficiency brewing here in the energy markets. I did a webinar for clients and subscribers last night and recommended to start locking in diesel needs for springtime because we are at a 1.5 times standard deviation in the crude oil. We are at the 200-month moving average, and this is the time period where we don't normally build production stocks all the way into March. And if the meteorologists are right about a cold winter, especially in the Northeast where the heating oil demand is so strong, and keeping in mind that the days of supply of crude oil here in the United States is not any bigger than it was a year ago, even though the market feels like it, I think you wrap all these things up, and I think it's time to start booking your spring diesel needs. And obviously there's going to be a lag here, I think, for farm diesel, where you're going to have to wait for the crude oil prices, because they're dropping so sharply, to transfer and transpire into and be seen in the diesel price for the on-farm. So that's the big thing I see in the energy markets, is we're falling and falling fast, and sure looks a lot like corn did about 5 months ago.
I want you to come back to the hook you used to begin with, which is the 1.5 times standard deviation. I know what a deviation is. I know what a standard deviation is, but standard deviation from what?
Going all the way back to the 1990s, the 1999-2000 and low. So we are, if you took a 1.5 times standard deviation from that low to the current prices, which would include that $150 spike roughly, we have now gone 1.5 times below what we should have based upon that price action.
All right, so the low you used, and this low is 1.5 times lower than that low was, based on where the midpoints are.
Based upon the midpoints, exactly.
That's not what I thought, but I understand it, so that makes some sense.
Way to bring that all the way around.
Yeah, so this helps trigger that idea that you want end users to lock in. And how much of the supply do you think they ought to lock in, and what's the downside yet in this marketplace?
Well, you know, the 2009 lows that were chewing into, we got all the way down into the mid-30s,
right,
at the end of 2008, early 2009. That was, you know, complemented obviously with the financial crisis, but that's really where the charts are pointing at this point if you want to take a worst-case scenario. I think my mindset would be that it's going to be very difficult with the gasoline and diesel demand. You're going to have a hard time getting the refined products that low, and I say that especially, again, because in the distillates, the production, the three-year average production pace is pretty much straight down from November into February, March. So we don't build stocks in production at this point. And like I said, if we have a super cold winter, like some people are projecting in the weather areas, I think you're going to have a very tough time building supplies from a standpoint of lower consumption. You'll have both higher consumption on the heating oil side and lower distillate production at the refiner level. So, you know, this is where it goes back to $4 corn in the cash market for new crop, $3 on-farm diesel, and maybe even lower than that at this stage. I've seen $2.90 being quoted this week. These are some numbers that can really work when it comes to budgeting and when it comes to work going to your bank for loaning money and, you know, farm credit or whoever. These numbers are starting to work really well. So it's kind of like the hogs and the cattle. We're seeing exactly what I feared would happen, that we would see the corn market shift and the feeder cattle shift. people were buying high-priced feeders. Now they're seeing a loss on both ends, or starting to accrue a loss on both ends. We can't let that happen in this early part of the marketing year for 15 corn.
All right. So when you look forward to 15 corn, you're saying, hey, wait a second, if fuel inputs are lower, and those are a fairly large input price, not one of the biggest, but they're one of the top four or five, if I remember correctly. This might be some place where producers can really take advantage of it. They need to start to push the pencil. Have you done so, and what are you telling your producers that they should do about corn and or soybean pricing for 2015?
Pretty much the same thing as we talked about at the Farm Assets Conference. I really think you're brewing a very strong market here, maybe robbing Peter to pay Paul in the demand front. We're not seeing any improvement in the USDA supply-demand numbers on a global level. We saw pretty much what we expected on a U.S. level as far as improving demand. But now with the dollar being the question mark, if the dollar would surge, I think you're still in that kind of a market like the late 1990s, where, again, in the late 1990s, you had a Goldilocks economy. You had U.S. growth going higher, inflation going lower, mainly because import prices were lower because of a strong dollar and because energy prices were sharply lower as well. But that all ended in an Asian financial crisis a couple years down the road. So my take is make hay while the sun's shining. Use these short-term market positive features and correlations with the 2010 crop year. Get locked in going into the January report, what you feel comfortable with, what you feel comfortable with reowning, and then look and see what happens after the January report. Because if it's like 2010, we broke pretty hard after the January report and really didn't bottom until we got to July. And then we made a V bottom, and actually the fall highs took out the spring highs. So it's going to be a very difficult 2015. It shouldn't surprise us because we're going to have not any QE to rely upon for the first time in 7-8 years.
Let's put some pieces to the puzzle together. So OPEC opens the spigots, leaves supply coming at a strong pace. That starts the drop in the market for crude oil. China appears to be slowing down. That may spark lower demand for soybean usage in the United States, even maybe some lower demand for commodities across the board, including crude oil. Is this a problem in the future?
Yeah, it is. I mean, Japan is now struggling with deflation. France just acknowledged today that it's got, in terms of its core inflation numbers, it was down 0.2% in November. That doesn't mean much, but it's the first time that went negative in the since modern data began in France. And so you've got Japan leading China down, you've got Italy and France leading Europe down, and all that bodes, and then you throw on top of that what you first talked about was the crude oil price, and that's shooting the dollar higher. Then you've got the Russians and the Ukrainians now fighting domestic price inflation. That's short-term bullish for the corn and wheat because it means they're probably going to have to hold on to more of their domestic supplies and not export it. But what it really comes around to later down the road in the medium term, meaning the next 6, 9, 12 months, it's a deflationary market, and that's going to be very tough for the commodity demand. So, again, if the dollar would break above that major resistance, that trading range band that it's been holding for about 4 years now, if it break above that, it would look a lot like 1997, and I say sell early and defend later.
Short-term bullish. Okay, that brings you mentioned wheat, brings me to Russia, Ukraine, the Black Sea. Tell me what happened there today.
This is the biggie. I mean, this is where everything's tied together. If you take a soft red wheat chart and plug on top of it a dollar ruble chart, they look almost identical, and it makes sense now because we've seen the ruble drop 40% since July. Why? Because of crude oil and the dollar. But we've also seen their wheat prices increase 40% since July, Todd. So essentially, they don't have any bargaining power or selling power from a lower currency. And bread prices, Reuters or Bloomberg reported earlier this week that some people in the retail sector are saying bread prices have gone up about 10% in the last month. And so Russia, Ukraine could be a situation where they have a supply that is held back because just like 2010, and here we go again with the 2010 correlation, just like 2010 may not want to export anything in the wintertime, but then they may have a surplus all of a sudden when it comes to the spring, summer. So this is, again, where you're messing with economic fundamentals, and you've got the funds now on the long side of the curve, and that's something you also have to watch.
Hey, Mike, thanks so much. I really enjoy putting the pieces of the puzzle together with you.
You ask the best questions, Todd. You keep me hopping. Good luck on the fund drive.
Hey, thank you so much. That, of course, is Mike Zuzulo. He's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. You can hear him again on our website at willag.org. In fact, he is correct. We're in the middle of a fund drive, and one of the pieces to the puzzle here at Illinois Public Media is you. We're hoping to raise $36,000 in 36 hours. Well on our way, but you can help right now today, and more importantly, if you call in at 217-244-945. Or if you go online to willag.org and hit contribute up at the top, either way, make sure that you tell them or click on one of the two in support of agriculture. It makes a difference. I'm telling you it does. It really makes a difference. We'd like you to give maybe at the $120 level, but frankly, whatever level is fantastic. And we just think that the service is important, and we hope you do too. Les Schulte is alongside today.
Thanks a lot, Todd. We certainly do think this is an important service. I was just thinking this is probably the last time, at least, I'm going to have the opportunity to talk directly to our ag audience and ask for your support for this service. And think about how you've used this service over the last year in 2014, or this current year. And what you're going to be expecting from us in 2015. Then put a value on this service at 217-244-9455 or online at willpledge.org. Just listening to Mike, some good information there, some great information. 21 analysts a week on this radio station on these agricultural programs to bring you a variety of ideas and opinions and information that you can use in your business. Dan Zwicker was on yesterday. Great interview with Dan Zwicker. Bill Mayer was on this morning. You've heard Sue Martin on today. Pete Manhart's on during the week. All kinds of people to bring you a variety of opinion. Not just one analyst and his or her point of view, but 21 different analysts. And that's what people tell us they really appreciate about the service here at WILL. And we can only do this with your help and your support. It's a partnership. And right now, as we close out 2014, it's hard to believe, but we are. If you have not yet made your contribution to WILL, call 217-244-9455 and make a $120 a year contribution. Maybe $240, maybe $500 fits into your budget
pick a good number.
Think about it. And, your year is over with. You're evaluating how it's been, and again, the information and the services that you use here at WILL. And then call that number, 217-244-9455. Or go online to willpledge.org. If you've made a major contribution to WILL this year, thank you very much. Again, we couldn't do it without you. And if you have not but been meaning to get around to it, now would be the time. 217-244-9455.
That is the number to call, and Les is right. Thank you so much. Thank you in advance for giving to the radio stations, to Illinois Public Media. It's really a partnership between Illinois Public Media, University of Illinois Extension, many of the radio stations, and the satellite feed, all working together to bring agricultural information to the state of Illinois and Indiana. And if you're interested in that kind of information, if it makes a difference to you, then thank you so much for making a difference with us. 217-244-9455. You can keep dialing right now. Go online at willag.org. If you listen on the line, by the way, hit the contribute button at the top of the page. On the phone line now to take up the cash grain market from Everly, Iowa, at the Andersons facility is Ben Pruse. Hi, Ben. How are you?
Hey, good, Todd.
Tell me about the marketplace in the area there in the northwestern part of your state.
Sure, yeah. I think confusion would be the word to sum it up best. We're seeing the CIF market break just a little bit. Basis is starting to fade. The processors are starting to fade their bids. In fact, they all went home fading about a nickel here today. And yet we're seeing some of our competition elevators actually firm their basis. So I think kind of indicative of didn't quite receive didn't quite get their complete fill in the fall time, and they're trying to work to get some coverage on, and good for the farmer, but from an elevator standpoint, a little uncertainty.
Okay, so right about now, there are a few farmers in my part of the world saying, hey, wait a second, what do you mean they didn't get their fill? But if I remember correctly, you told us that your crop wasn't as good, maybe, as the rest of the country.
At least
in the area. So are farmers really short of corn, or did they just have built enough storage that it didn't come to town?
Well, that's just it. There's a lot of it. The bins got filled that haven't been filled in the last 4 years. And, I would say 155 to 195 caught about 98% of our corn crop this year, just in our kind of six-county area. You know, I'm not speaking to the rest of the state of Iowa, but in Northwest Iowa particularly, we had actually a little bit of a challenging year on our heavy dirt.
Will you have to bid up prices to make sure, and I'm thinking ethanol plants, not particularly the Anderson's Everly, Iowa facility, to make sure they continue to have enough corn to grind?
Yeah, definitely. You know, and we are, we're heavily slanted towards ethanol plants around this neck of the woods. And honestly, we're going out, we're owning some corn, a little more expensive than the ethanol plants are paying today, just because we are in anticipating the basis moving north.
Well, how much over are you at this point?
The ethanol plant, like Valero-Hartley, which I always seem to reference, is they're posted 2,500 today, and for Jan delivery, for the right amount of bushels, we're showing about 500.
Oh, so there is some real appreciation in the basis over that time then.
Absolutely. And like I said, I think a lot of it is just strictly locally our kind of trade area, but we're going to fight tooth and nail for it this year.
Okay, and I know you don't use trains, but how are the supplies of trains in the area? They should be, I assume, getting better with the price of crude oil dropping.
Yeah, absolutely. We do have one shuttle loader up here, but truly the truck market is clearly to the advantage here today. As far as that's getting ethanol out of our area that we've struggled with last year, definitely has not been a concern. Everybody's seems to be running full bore. There's concern that with oil prices dropping, that ethanol margins are going to continue to shrink in, but shrink or not shrink, they're going to run those ethanol plants wide open. So
they're grinding and running wide open. Good to know.
You
hey,
got it.
Tell me about your spot bids for the day.
Yeah, 382 cash corn, 997 cash beans.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thanks, Todd.
Mm-hmm. Ben Pruce is with the Anderson's Everly, Iowa facility. Joins us on this Friday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report. Have you dialed yet? I hope so. But if not, 217-244-9455. Just a really quick, short, fun drive. A couple of days, 36 hours, in fact. A day and what? 12 hours, so a day and a half total. And we'd like you to dial in your support of agricultural programming right now, Les Schulte.
That's right, Todd. Now is the time to make that pledge of support for WILL and agricultural programming. It's a tax-deductible contribution to your public radio station. Again, as we're coming up on the end of the year, you might be doing some paperwork and figuring out that kind of a thing. Now is the time to make a pledge of support to WILL and your public radio station, 217-244-9455. Or you can just go online to willpledge.org or willag.org.
Absolutely, willag.org. Thanks so much for being with us this afternoon. Les, we'll be back in just a couple of minutes. We'll talk about the agricultural weather forecast. Not only will we have Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey, the Prairie Research Institute, with us, but we'll also have Ed Kieser. They'll take a look at what's happening in the state of Illinois and the Midwest and the South American weather forecast. You can find us, by the way, online at willag.org. That's willag.org.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
It's National Lager Day. Lager yeast seems to have emerged during the Roman Empire, and its production faced almost immediate opposition from established brewers and the Roman Catholic Church. Private lager brewers were required to produce their beer outside city walls. On this day in agricultural history in 1864, Henry Rowell Schoolcraft died, an American explorer. He is noted for his discovery of the source of the Mississippi River in a lake in northern Minnesota, which he named Lake Itasca. Schoolcraft published an account of the journey in a narrative journal of travels through the northwestern regions to the sources of the Mississippi River. In 1855, Henry Ridley was born. An English botanist, he was largely responsible for establishing the rubber industry. His experiments convinced him of the enormous economic potential of rubber as a plantation crop. His principal contribution was to develop what is still today the basic method for tapping the tree, the removal at each tapping of a thin layer of bark from the end cut, thus permitting a smooth flow of latex and allowing the bark to regenerate. And in 1877, Dr. Jared Kirtland died, a physician, naturalist, botanist, and teacher. He is credited with developing 26 varieties of cherries and 6 varieties of pears. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Listening to the Closing Market Report on a Friday afternoon. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. Now here with the weather forecast for the United States is Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey Prairie Research Institute.
December so far has been mild with temperatures just 1 degree below average. Rainfall amounts of 1 to 3 inches were common south of Interstate 70, while the remainder of the state has seen amounts of 1 inch or less. No significant snowfall has been reported yet for December. Speaking of snow, one question I get asked a lot is the chance of a white Christmas in Illinois. The odds are about 40% to 60% in northern Illinois, 20% to 40% in central Illinois, and 1% to 20% in southern Illinois. Looking closer at this weekend and next week, the National Weather Service forecasts indicate that we should see highs on Saturday ranging from the mid-40s in northern Illinois to the low-50s in southern Illinois. Highs will be in the low to mid-50s across the state on Sunday and Monday. A low-pressure system will bring slightly cooler and wetter weather on Tuesday. A second, stronger system moving out of Texas could bring rain and snow into Illinois on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Our thanks to Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey Prairie Research Institute for an update of the weather forecast here in the state of Illinois. Let's turn our attention to South America now. We've got an update from meteorologist Ed Kieser.
At this early stage of their summer growing season, no significant problems are showing up. Most areas have enough soil moisture for crop growth and development, and for areas where rainfall has slowed planting, improvement is on the way. Over the next week to 10 days, rainfall is expected to be heaviest and exceed average across center-west and southeast Brazil. Rainfall amounts of 2 to 4 inches should be common across Mato Grosso, Mato Grosso do Sul, Goiás, and western Minas Gerais. That will keep soils favorably moist for soybeans and first crop corn. Probably the biggest change since last week is the emergence of dry pockets in South Brazil and parts of neighboring Paraguay. While not a problem at this point, the forecast is for below average rainfall in the coming 10 days. That would lead to a drying trend over time. However, bone dry weather is not expected. Several weakening fronts will approach the area, triggering scattered thunderstorms from time to time. With this drying trend, we are currently focusing a little more closely on Rio Grande do Sul, Santa Catarina, and Paraná, as those are the states at the greatest risk for gradually turning too dry in the coming weeks. While there is a risk for dryness, it would also not be a surprise if rain picks up again in a few weeks. In Argentina, weather changes have been occurring as anticipated this week. After an extended period of hot weather with highs on many days in the 90s, temperatures recently have turned more seasonable with highs in the 80s. Seasonable temperatures with no periods of high heat are in the forecast for the coming week. Meanwhile, drier weather moved into southern Argentina this week, while average to surplus rain continued from central into northern Argentina. The trend for the coming 10 days is drier for the largest agricultural production areas of Argentina. Occasional scattered thunderstorms are still expected, but the weather should be much more conducive to field work. That will greatly help get corn and soybean planting closer to completion. Wet weather during Argentina's spring has slowed planting progress, just as it did last year.
Our thanks to Ed Kieser. That's the closing market report for a Friday. I'm Todd Gleason.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at agrigold.com.